This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:37. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now it is time for Today on Twitter, where it's all about Netflix and their losses.
Yeah, so it's a loss on a number of fronts, actually. It's a subscriber loss. It is a market share loss. There's just a bunch of things going on. This is stemming from, I think, the major headline from Netflix over the last couple of days, in which in their quarterly report, they said that they had lost 200,000 subscribers in the first quarter of this year. And it's actually the first time that they have lost subscribers in over a decade. And this then, of course, rattled investors who had initially been told to expect an additional 2.5 million subscribers. So it went in the opposite direction. And subsequently, Netflix shares plummeted by more than 35%. And I guess, you know, the question here is what the plan might be, right, in terms of how to resolve this. For what it's worth, this is what Netflix has said they're going to do. They're going to consider experimenting with ads, as well as cracking down on the issue of password sharing. And so the reason why it's trending on Twitter is because people took to that platform to share their opinions on why this happened. And honestly, the majority aren't exactly going, yes, you're right, it is the password sharing that's the problem. Instead, they're blaming Netflix itself for raising subscription fees and cancelling popular shows.
It's an interesting one, because I think Netflix's success for so long has actually paved the way for so many other OTP platforms to come along, so many other streaming services to unroll. And there is some concern now that this market loss, as well as this loss of subscribers, may indicate that every channel moving on to streaming may not necessarily be the safe idea that everyone thought it was. Also because the market has gotten quite saturated, right? So there are a number of conversations happening in terms of the industry itself and what might work, what the future of this sort of entertainment might look like. But also, I think going back to, you know, Netflix in many ways being the OG of this kind of content, how to continuously be relevant, and whether even bringing up things like people shouldn't share their passwords, that's why we're losing subscribers, is necessarily the best way to win over your subscribers.
It sounds a little petty, right? It does sound a little bit, it's not me, it's you. And I'm not sure that that is necessarily the tone that they want to be coming out with. Now, you will have heard that we have Astro ads running on our station. Our recent popcorn culture shows have also been, a lot of the content has been brought to us by our friends over at that particular company. And I wanted to say that actually something that I've been thinking about a lot is that point you made about saturation. And I wonder whether there really is value in something that gathers apps or that centralizes things. And I think that that's partly because, like you said, it's one thing for Netflix, the OG, to say, oh, I'm making losses. It's quite another for newer streaming platforms. And we don't even get them all. We don't get things like Peacock, for example, which is NBC's thing. And I think it's harder for them to come out and say, no, no, spend an extra, I'm going to speak in dollars, you know, spend an extra $15 on me or an extra $10 on me because you want to watch Friends over and over again. And I don't know if that as an individual, what's the word I'm looking for? An individual proposition is enough actually for most users. I wonder whether we're actually heading back towards wanting the consolidation and you know, being able to have one subscription that's going to get us a bunch of things.
So I do know that in India, for example, many different cable operators actually bundle together apps exactly like that. You know, things like HBO, for instance, or Disney Plus Hotstar are bundled in rather than people subscribing to five different services individually. So I'm not sure. You know, it's an interesting time because I don't think anyone outside of the industry, and perhaps even Netflix themselves, necessarily saw this kind of a drop coming.
I don't think people did. I mean, for a while now, Netflix has really dominated this kind of this landscape, even down to the original content and what they were coming up with, becoming a sort of studio, you know, in their own senses. And I think this has been a surprise to everyone. I personally don't think that it's down to the password subscription. I don't think that that's what it is. I think that there are other factors here. But if we look at what people are saying, so Imran says, I never thought I would see the day Netflix lost subscribers before Spotify. They're both the top streaming platforms right now. Meanwhile, Wagatwe says, maybe Netflix lost subscribers because it keeps raising prices while cancelling viewers' favourite shows after like two seasons?
So two things there. One is Spotify is actually an interesting comparison because they don't necessarily have the kind of competition that Netflix has since gathered, right? And so Spotify in many ways still occupies a fairly singular spot. They've also diversified tremendously. And in terms of that thing about cancelling shows, as a viewer, as a content person, more than an industry person, I wonder whether that's really it, whether it's really that with a glut of content, you're now going to judge based on quality of content.
Well, that and if you cancel a show I enjoy and then you put out another show that isn't as good. And this happens a fair amount with Netflix. We've spoken about it before on our other segment, Popcorn Culture, that there is a certain, despite the money, right, despite the kind of funding that they're able to put in, not all Netflix shows are made equal. And this is across the board, whether we're talking about movies or docuseries or, you know, dramatic limited run series, what have you. They are not all made equal. Some are much better than others. And that investment that people make, especially in a binge-worthy show, and then you binge your way through, I don't know, you know, two seasons of something, you're 20 episodes deep and they're like, oh, sorry. No, you'll never find out whether they lived or died. You know, this is just the end of that. I think that that is indeed something that's quite painful and actually something that's coming through pretty strongly in the tweets.
Yeah, so Mike Jennings says, can't say I'm surprised. More people than ever are being hit by cost of living increases and Netflix will cancel a show every time you get invested.
Joe making a rather large point. Netflix might be coming to the end of their days, constantly raising prices, monitoring the account sharing and now adding commercials, which is a point being made also by Sachin, who says the idea of selling Netflix with ads and the crackdown on passwords shows that the company is struggling bringing new customers on board. 100 million free users will not easily convert to paid users or suddenly watching ads. I will not be surprised to see more decline during the year. And that has me thinking about YouTube Premium. Because that would be the comparison, right, I suppose, if we're talking about a video platform where if it's free, you have to watch the ads. And if it's paid, then you get to, what is it that they allow you to do? You can continue viewing videos when you're not on the app. You can do a number of different things there. And I don't know, actually, I'm not sure. Maybe I would have to look this up during the ad break. I'm not sure how well YouTube Premium is doing.
I personally don't know a single person who subscribes to it.
I know one, our colleague Othniel Ting.
Ah, wow.
Yes.
Okay, so I also know one then.
Yes.
But you know, that's anecdotal. But that said, you know, if we who constantly cover this stuff between us know one person, I'm not sure, right? It's really not.
Maybe we just don't know many people.
Many other tweets about cancelling shows. Danny says Netflix would stop losing subscribers if they stopped prematurely cancelling all their good shows. Vivian, meanwhile, says Netflix cancels their best shows, cheaps out on licenses for popular shows and movies, causing studios to pull those properties, punishes VPN usage. Netflix, this is clearly password sharers' fault.
Like I said, I think that this is a little bit, it's focusing on the small issue when there are multiple larger issues at play. And yeah, I mean, blaming the user, blaming the customer doesn't usually go down very well.
We're talking about Netflix essentially losing 200,000 subscribers in the first quarter of this year, along with a market drop. Their shares have plummeted by more than 35%. So we'd like to hear from you. Have you been reconsidering your Netflix subscription? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:50. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. So earlier on today on Twitter, we were looking at Netflix and the fact that they've lost 200,000 subscribers in the first quarter of this year, as well as seen a market share drop. Let us know, are you reconsidering your subscription? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Let's start with some messages on Netflix.
So firstly, Daniel says, Netflix, 200,000 subscribers found new jobs. They don't have time to watch you anymore. Ha ha. So, I mean, I don't. Yeah, there is something to that. Perhaps people are staying home less and therefore feeling less in the need for on-demand entertainment. I don't know. As opposed to during the height of the pandemic in which, you know, cinemas weren't really an option and a variety of things. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, that's just a bit of a laugh, isn't it? I am curious, though, for the 200,000 who decided to beg off, what their alternatives have since been. because that's actually a point that's being made by Dr. J as well in terms of, well, okay, if you don't go with Netflix, then what are your options?
Yeah, so Dr. J says, so aren't we all in Malaysia stuck with Netflix for now? Where else are we going to turn? I'm subscribed to Netflix and Disney Plus. I need the streaming services because they're the only ones that provide Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmosphere streams. Those are some high standards there. But to be fair, I think that we do have almost all the streaming platforms that you did, because we have others as well. We have Apple TV, we have Prime, which we can subscribe to here. So it's not really a lack of options, but I think it might be actually the kind of entertainment you're looking for. And perhaps Netflix is also the early entry to the market, right? It's the one that most people may have already subscribed to.
I think it's the size of the library, which is, again, why the comments about licensing fees and, you know, the cancelling of shows is a big deal. Because if the depth of content is what Netflix has been able to tout for a very long time, and then we've seen, I go back to Friends. And the reason I do that is because when Friends was taken off the platform internationally, I'm not sure, is it still on in the Malaysian context?
Oh, I can't remember. No, I think it didn't it move because of the special?
Ah, yes, yes, perhaps yeah. So. So, but it went off for the rest of the world first, right? It left because Peacock was a thing and, you know, they also removed things like The Office, basically rewatch favorites for many people. And I think that when you lose that depth of the library, that's also an issue, not just in terms of churning out new stuff to which people may or may not form emotional connections, but the long-running stuff, the stuff that's been there for ages that people will want to watch season after season, you know. So there are these things that kind of factor in, I think, when we think about why, from a content perspective, somebody might be dropping out of this.
We also have Nish, who says, Astro is aggregating OTT streaming apps as well. Convenient and gives me savings. Streaming guys are learning that there's a ceiling to pay subs and ads is the way to go, morphing into cable or satellite TV.
Man, I have thoughts on this, Nish, mostly because I am not sure I can buy into ads. And I think that that is because we've had how many years now? How many years has Netflix been in Malaysia? But the point being that we have had a number of years, a significant number of years in which we have not had to put up with this. We have not had to deal with ads interrupting our movies, you know, causing that weird fade to black that nobody asked for and the weird fade in from black when we come back from the ads. You know, to me, when I think about that, as an impatient new viewer, as an impatient modern viewer, that just makes me think of the frustrations of watching when I was a child and not necessarily how I want to watch things now.
Yeah, I think ads is an interesting one, no? Because it's funny how quickly we've moved away from being used to ads. But I also think that we had the interim of content on, for example, all of our satellite channels and whatever, which also come ad-free. And I think expecting viewers to go back to ads in between programs is a hard sell, especially if you're paying separate subscription fees for it.
We have Mohan, who says, so is Netflix then just turning into, you know, every other channel or satellite television where we pay and watch ads? So it doesn't necessarily have to be the case, right? I'm very sure that it's going to function in the same way as all these other platforms in which you have a premium tier, you've got a free-to-watch tier or a lowered price tier. And I think it's going to be like that. Now, the point that was made in an earlier tweet was whether or not you would then be able to convert people, right? If ads would be enough to deter folks. For someone like me, yes. I do wonder, though, I mean, we heard from Nesh earlier who was fine with it. So I don't know. Who's back, by the way, to say 7 years since 2015. Thank you very much for that fact check. So that's how long we've been watching ad-free.
My goodness. Okay, 7 years actually sounds like a much longer time than I thought. I would have guessed 5 years.
See, this is what, even if it is 3 years or a year of getting very accustomed to going, you know what, I can now sit down and watch uninterrupted an hour of Bridgerton. You know, it's not the same as getting interrupted. What's an hour? Four times? Yeah.
Yeah. And I also think that this is probably part of the natural evolution of these things that we're used to getting for free, right? And that's how things work with the internet. Keep those thoughts coming if you'd like to weigh in on whether your Netflix subscription is perhaps losing your shine for you. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.